Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. Glad that you're here today, 1-800-229-3000. And joining me today, I mean, if you ever had an issue with attachment and growing up and all sorts of stuff, we've got Milan Yurkovich here.
Hey, Steve.
Of course, he and Kay wrote the book, How We Love. And then we have Mark Cameron, who has worked. How long have you and Milan worked together over there at Relationship 180?
I think about 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Three wonderful years.
Yes, they've been great.
Let me ask this. What happened to you, or how did you come across Milan and Kay's book, and did that cause you to change the way you do anything?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So I came across Milan and Kay's book. I was actually, therapy is a second career for me. So I was getting back into therapy and earning my hours, and mm-hmm. I'm part of a men's group, and it was one of the books that was I think it was one of the guys suggested reading this book, and it changed my life reading the book. Learning about attachment and the way that Milan and Kay presented it, it really shocked me to read. And I hear this response actually from a lot of clients that end up at Relationship 180. They read the book and they say, wow, we just figured out what the problem was. Mm-hmm. I read the book and I felt like they were talking to me. And that was my experience.
Mm. Happens all the time. Anyway, Mark is here. This is his second program that he's done. And to get the second program with us, you have to do a pretty good job on the first program, and you did, and we're glad that you're here. I hate to start the program with bad news. By the way, we'll go to Kimberly right after this, but the world's oldest person died in April. I don't know if you heard about this, but her name was K-A-N-E. I don't actually know how you would pronounce that. Tanaka. She was 119 years old.
Wow.
Can you believe that? 119.
Wow.
And she was born January 2nd, 1903, if you can imagine that. And so I'm always curious, what did they do? What's their secret? And says that she would continually do math, that she kept her brain active by doing math problems. And well, I just hear that over and over again, not math problems, but people that do puzzles and keep your brain active mm-hmm. tend to do better. And wow, what a thing to live 119 years. I've lived almost 69. It'll be 69 next month. And the aches and pains I have at 69, I don't know that I want to go double, which it would almost be double there. But you know, maybe so. All right, let's go to Kimberly.
You know, I have a recessive math gene.
Do you?
Yes. So, therefore, I wouldn't be doing math problems. So that's why I specialize in people problems, because that keeps my brain stimulated. So
there you go.
Yeah, there you go. You got to just figure something to keep yourself going.
I play the piano.
Okay.
That's what I've been doing just to keep the brain going. And a lot of the kids wish that I would practice while they're not in the house. I think that would go better. Oh, well,
Kimberly,
we're going to go to a break here. Kimberly, we'll get to your call right after this. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, or you can help us, if you want to join the program, it's 1-800-229-3000. At 1-800-NEW-LIFE, there are these wonderful folks that get up every day, they go to work, and they start answering the phone. They're in Dallas, Texas, at our big office there in Dallas. And we don't farm this out to some other group. We take care of it here. Oh, it's so great to listen on these calls. There's so much hope and healing. So call us if you need some help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. But right now, if you're watching on YouTube, you could call 1-800-229-3000 and we would put you through. We'll take this break and come back with Mark Cameron, Milan Yurkovich, and your phone calls. I'll tell you about a resource we have for you to all those who give right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. Milan Yurkovich, Mark, is with us. And Mark is a great, great therapist, and we've already heard his great insight. And Mark Cameron can be your therapist, I guess. You just call
us. I can.
But let's go to Kimberly, Suffolk, Virginia. WAVA. Kimberly, how are you today, and how could we help?
Hello. Hi. Very good. How are you all?
Well, we're doing all right. I'm feeling a little better now that I've heard your attitude is just so strong here. Thank you for that. What's going on in your life?
I've been talking for a while, but I've listened to your show quite a few times. But I just have a brief comment of encouragement for Oscar.
Oh, Oscar, the person. Oscar was a new Christian, and hadn't done much about his alcoholism, but really wanted things to be better. Yeah.
Right, and I came in kind of in the middle of his story, but I feel like God just put it on my heart to call in, because it seemed like Oscar was very much focused on his wife's response to his efforts to reconcile their relationship. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to encourage him that it's not about her. Mm-hmm. It initially, it's about him, his relationship with God, you know, learning who God is, learning about God, especially as a new believer, but learning about his relationship with God, growing close with God, and letting God help him grow into the person God has called him to be. And any effort, all effort that he puts into that, will be a blessing in his life, and then enable him to be a blessing to others that God has put in his life, like to his wife being in the position of a husband, or to his children being in the position of a father. But focusing on becoming the man before God that God wants him to be will then cause the outflow of all his other relationships to be right in God's sight. And I just felt, too, that he would need to feel safe before he could make his wife feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to come from a relationship with God. It all comes down to that individually, growing close to God. And we often do that, you know, as you all know, of course, in those times of suffering where we really will need to draw near to him and see that he is our source of everything. And he's the only one that can fill those holes or satisfy those needs. So I just wanted to encourage Oscar, any and all effort he makes to get closer to our Heavenly Father, to know him more, will be a tremendous blessing in his lives and in the lives of others.
Now, Kimberly, when I say that I couldn't have said it better, I actually mean that. That it was wonderful.
Oh, wow.
I agree with everything that you say. So tell us, how did you develop this kind of wisdom? Tell us about that for you.
Well, I think it was two things for me. First of all, I went through a very hard time. I unfortunately experienced a divorce. But the second thing really has been spending so much time with very wise Christians who have been walking with the Lord for a very long time. Mm. A very close friend, she was 98.
Mm. Oh, there you are.
98. She just passed away a couple of days ago. I learned so much from her, and I thank God for giving me the opportunity to know her and to meet her, and I learned things from her that there's no way I could have learned at my stage of life now if she had not shared those and poured those into me. And I've been so blessed by God to have, you know, a few people in my life like that who were very mature Christians. That I was able to glean so many wonderful lessons from them that have just blessed me so much. And I spend a lot of time with God now, a lot of time in Scripture, reading the Bible, realizing what it means to be His child, to have a whole new set of priorities and what it means to redeem your time, and all starting with understanding the most important thing in the world is knowing who we are here. As an eternal mindset, an eternal mindset has helped tremendously not to focus on what's going on here temporarily in this temporary world, but focusing much more on my spiritual life and spiritual growth. And I'm, most recently, it's been going back to, is it 2 Corinthians 5:10, but really capturing those thoughts, taking them into captivity and putting them back into the obedience of Christ and his mind and what Scripture says, not what anybody else says or a lot of the world says or the world system. So Scripture and wise Christians and having experienced something myself that propelled me to God to start to draw close to him.
You know, it's interesting, Kimberly. It's really interesting because I ask people if they would be willing, if there were no humans involved, would they choose to do what God wants them to do regardless of whether another human being's opinion would be involved or not? Would we do this just for God? And I think that's a really important question to ask, and I think that's a point you're making.
But
Kimberly, you're so right. And what you're taking here is the long view. And one of the challenges for Oscar was he was taking the short view because all addicts take the short view, and it's hard for them to pull their head up into the world and looking at the view from your perspective. But your statements are modeling the long view, which is what I really appreciate here. It'll take time for a lot of people to catch up to that longer view. I appreciate how you wove pain into that. And you said, look, I've been through my own pain, and that helped me establish the long view. But thank you for your call. Steve, was there anything?
Well, I was just going to ask her a couple of things. If you knew this and lived this way when you were married, would have impacted the divorce? Would it have prevented it? Or was it just out of...
You know the answer to that? Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. If I knew then what I know now, my responses in that situation would have been completely different. Yes, and I was growing then. But some of the conflict was I was a new Christian. I had known God, but not been in... I'd known of God, but not been in relationship with him. I was just coming into that, so I was stumbling.
Yeah.
I was stumbling so much, and... And that, you know, when you're stumbling before, the only way I'm thinking to save it is an unsaved world who doesn't know God or doesn't understand the process of the spiritual journey, then they look at you and it becomes more of, you're not giving a good testimony for God. At that stage, they're not understanding that your heart has changed, your heart's in the right place, your motivation is in the right place. But I'm still struggling because I was not yielding to the Spirit. You know, I didn't understand.
Whoop, I think she cut herself off there. Well, you know, I just want to say this. On behalf of folks like her who are divorced, you know, I want to say to people where they're leaving, maybe just be more patient. Maybe, you know, if this person... Here she was. She said she was a new Christian. She hadn't developed the character change yet. But, you know, we just need to be more patient with people. Give them time to develop the things, especially if they're working hard to develop. Mark, any comment?
Yeah, I love that she called in here. And I hope that Oscar's still listening because he got a little bonus time.
He really
on
did.
His question there.
He did.
So I love that she called in with that great attitude that you said, Steve, that real Barnabas. And I think she's 100% right. And if we had a little bit more time with Oscar, I would have said that is that he said that he was scared of that he would do this work and what his wife's response would be. And that's the risk that you have to take in recovery. Mm-hmm. You have to do this work for yourself, right? And that's the only way that you're going to be successful at it. And it sounded like Kimberly had done some of her own work after her divorce, and she brought up something that's really important to attachment there. She said she found someone to help her guide her, right? And so what we would call that in attachment is a secure base. And that's what you need when you're younger, when you're a kid. You need that secure base of your parent that you can return to. And I'm not sure that she quite got that when she was younger, but she found it in adulthood. And that's fantastic. And that's what we need to do, right? If we don't get a learned secure attachment, right, then by default we get a learned insecure attachment. But that's not, it's not all bad news from there, because we know that research shows us that we can earn a secure attachment in adulthood. And we do that by figuring out our insecurities, understanding how we're triggered, and then we do need to get that secure base in adulthood, you know. Yeah. And sometimes that's an older person, sometimes that's a therapist.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is probably people think, well, I wish a 98-year-old woman would walk into my life. But you don't have to wait for that, because there are coaches and there are counselors, there are therapists, there are people that can be that for you. And I think about, you know, I have my own therapist, and I just have things that I can discuss with him that I would probably just, they'd be mysteries to me. I can ask him questions, and he can help me surrender to certain realities that maybe I wouldn't if I didn't have that person. So you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll try to find a 98-year-old therapist or counselor or coach for you, not the 98-year-old part. Mylon, your
Steve,
thoughts.
Let me just say one more thing, and that is, and Oscar is getting bonus time here. I hope he is listening today. But you see, there's five kids involved. Didn't he say five children?
Yep. Yeah.
That when we talked to him earlier in the week, it's more than just his wife. If he never got his wife back, would he decide to grow and mature to become the best possible father he could be for the rest of his life? And if you're an addict, you can't be that dad. You can't be that person to give your kids that secure attachment.
Mm-hmm. No, that's right.
Yeah, and one thing I routinely say to people is it takes two secure people to make a secure relationship. You can't take two insecure people, put them together, and expect to have a secure relationship. That math just doesn't add up. And if you want to be a secure dad, you want to be a secure husband, it starts with becoming that secure person in yourself.
That's right. Mm.
All right, well, let's go back to the phones. Let's talk with Jason. He is calling all the way from Columbus, Ohio. Jason, how are you? And thanks for calling us. How can we help?
I'm hanging in there. I've been married for almost, well, November would have been 6 years.
6 years?
Yes. And, my wife was raised in the church, you know, for, you know, 30-some years, you know. Very familiar with the Christian background. But, unfortunately, she is what, according to the counselor, thinks that she has addictive behaviors and also kind of thrill-seeking. And she admitted that was kind of emotional affair, and it was sexual as well. So,
oh boy, how long did it take after you were married? How long after you were married did she get involved with someone?
Well, the problem was that she was, from what I understand from her, was that she had a dual life. Like, she went to church, but she was, once she lost her virginity to the same person, see, they was coworkers. This is a work situation now. Mm-hmm. And then, so before we got married, I discovered about it because I had, you know, been snooping around a little bit in the phone, and, you know, her old phone, and because she just, yeah, I mean, because of the attachment she had to him, it just didn't seem natural. So naturally, you know, some people like to pry a little bit, so I did. And I went ahead and married her despite knowing that there's history, but she wasn't cheating with him, but it was just, the conversation was not right, obviously. It wasn't appropriate, but, you know, as far as I know, she's, you know, like this good Christian girl who fallen like I did. You know, we both have a past.
And do you wish that you had maybe postponed that marriage, given what you discovered?
Well, we didn't know each other very long. We was both about 40 years old. We both didn't have kids. We have one kid. We, you know, are right now, I mean, we're mid-40s right now. She's only 46 next month, and she will be 45 in December. And so, with as long as we lived single, we had some baggage, and it just kind of crept in, and I didn't realize she had a problem with, like, fighting these addictive behaviors, like, with, like, I mean, basically, like, we're married, and she said marriage is good, the intimacy is good, sex is good, she wasn't unhappy, but she just thought she could have the extra thing too. And because this guy was somewhat familiar, she reached out to him. And then, then what happened was, she used Facebook Messenger, which is very easy to do. And I trusted her. See, over the years, after that engagement, I got through that the first time, and I trusted her. So I didn't think, look on, hey, Facebook, I didn't get on Messenger. But that's how she's doing it.
Oh,
it's,
boy.
It's that easy.
All right, we're gonna talk to you about this right after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Steve Arterburn here with Jason on the line, Mark Cameron and Mylon Yurkovich in the studio. And Jason, you're going to need to come up with a question for us. What is your question in the midst of a very heartbreaking situation?
Well, the question is due to the infidelity and the nature of being kind of more personal because of being the person that was, because I knew who this person was, and I had not really cared for the guy much because I'm not a nice person. But my question is that how do I, since then, for it's almost been 5 months post D-Day, and we are in counseling, but it took so long to find it, but it's just slow going. It feels like that I'm stuck, you know, it's not holding, you know, what's living with the message I've seen. I can't get out of my head, you know what I'm saying? Like the details, the explicit messages, you know. And just some of the things she did was pretty hurtful, like for her birthday, you know. And I didn't feel the same about her birthday. So my question
what's the question for us, though? What are you asking for us?
Okay, so my question is how do I forgive properly without, you know, like saying it's okay or not? And then, okay, and do I need to forgive everything, like to say, okay, you're forgiven, or so wait on the forgiveness and try to get through more counseling.
Okay, so you ask a question. You ask a question on, here's your question. You said, how do I forgive? And I'm just going to start, and I'm going to turn this to Mylon. No, I'm not going to say yes, because if she is not remorseful, if she is not doing anything to assure you this will never happen again, such as change jobs, then this might not be the time to forgive. It might be the time that you need all the energy and motivation possible to have her do what needs to be done for her to get well. And then you're going to need to do some grieving work of what she took from you, and she took a lot from you, the security, the future, the dream, all of that. But let's talk to Mylon and see what he's thinking here as he's heard this phone call.
Well, we know that God wants us to forgive people, but I always push a pause button on forgiveness because I want to know exactly what it is I'm forgiving and if the person has asked for forgiveness. And then forgiveness cannot be confused with trust, you see, because you trusted her and you bypassed a previous transgression and you said, okay, that's kind of over, and I'm going to go ahead and marry her anyhow. And that's a concern because people do tend to repeat history. But what I really want to encourage you to do is forgiveness is not your primary goal. That will come. And with it, potentially a relationship may come out of it as well. But what you really need to do is your requirement of yourself and this woman is that she and you figure out what happened. Why is she so adrenaline-oriented? Why does she like the thrill of, like the counselor said, she has an addictive orientation that she needs this experience. You see, that's where you need to get to. And when she comes to a point of saying, you know, I've been doing this my whole life. I've been, you know, running from one euphoric place to another euphoric place. And I'm addicted to euphoria, you see. Well, why? And that is then when if she says, I really want to do something different and become more secure, then you can start to develop a relationship where forgiveness and trust are mutually extended.
Where is she in all this? Tell us what you think is going on in her.
She tells me, because she's raised in the church for 30-some years, you know, she was had up for, you know, she went when she wasn't doing stuff right. You know, I mean, it was more to keep the facade up, the appearance.
What is, you where know, is she in all of this?
So where she is, that she tells me that she had change of heart less than a week after the discovery, and she did stop all contact with the affair partner and the other guy she's messaging, who's just talking bad to, you know what I mean? It's just like inappropriate messages to the other guy, which I had caught her on the laptop.
Okay, so you need to require her. You need to require her to get some help then. She's cut off that, but you need to help her grow.
Yeah.
And that would be in a program, going to Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous is what I would recommend for her. Be the perfect group.
Okay.
And there are groups in person and there are groups online, but maybe you guys both could be part of one of those groups, but she needs to do something. I'll send you a Life Recovery Bible and the workbook on sexual integrity. I'll send that to you to give to her. But before we go here, Mark Cameron, do you have a comment here for Jason?
Yeah, I do. I think forgiveness and reconciliation, those are two different things. And I think for forgiveness, you don't have to have someone be remorseful to forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
Someone dies, we can still forgive them, right? But for reconciliation, we do need remorse. We need someone to U-turn. We need them to recognize what they've done wrong, understand what they did wrong, and acknowledge that and make a commitment to change. And I think that's what you really need for reconciliation, Jason. I know you can hear the music playing here. I've got a couple of other thoughts that I'd like to give to you.
We can do that right after this.
Sure.
But, you know, you can't control what she did. But I think your response to what she did has a lot to do with whether or not it's a one-time thing or it becomes the serial killer. And so you need to do some things. We'll talk about that right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, Steve Arterburn here. And, well, Mark, you wanted to finish up with the comments for Jason there.
Yeah, I don't know if Jason's still on, but a couple of things I just kind of wanted to add for you, Jason, is that she is, again, with the remorse thing, she is still continuing, even in the face of discovery, or she did continue. And I think I'm going to echo what Mylon and Steve said. I think you need boundaries here, right? You're not responsible for her affairs. So don't mistake what I'm going to say here. But enabling is when we provide the environment for a system to continue to thrive. Mm-hmm. And without holding boundaries, if we just do the same, we're going to get the same. And I think you need to hold some boundaries. And I think a question that you need to ask yourself too is, what insecurity in you allowed you to still marry her, knowing that she had these behaviors? I think that's going to be part of your healing, like Mylon was referencing here. A relationship could come out of it, but these are some questions that you need to ask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, you want to find out sooner than later that she's not going to be faithful. And when you ask someone who's been unfaithful with two different people, and kind of destroyed your wonderful future, you thought, if they're not willing to do anything, then eventually I have to believe it's not going to go well. Because if you break this marriage vow and you're not just broken, that you hurt the person you love and you're willing to do everything, then I think sometimes it's just a matter of time. Tammy is calling us. I'm going to have her hold because Larry Sonnenberg is in the studio, and I hate to interfere with nap time for him. But Larry, you're here, and you've got some. You always bring in something good for us. What do you have for us here on a Friday, the 29th, the day that every man's battle is going on, and we sure need to pray for those guys.
Well, every man's battle is really near and dear to my heart because I go to so many of them, yep. And I see what God does. And I'm looking at my paperwork thinking that is next week. But anyway.
It's the 29th, I believe. I mean, it's the 30th.
It's May 13th.
Yeah.
Oh, did I miss that?
Yeah, you did.
It was okay.
That's
so
okay.
That, well, you know, what's great is I'm back after 24 days,
yeah.
And that's the first mistake I've made. So there you go. People can still get in, is what you're saying.
Yeah, they can, absolutely, okay. And they should. And I typically will bring testimonies in to help people remember why we do what we do and why we ask for what we ask. But it's got a little bit waylaid by this matching gift. And so I was thinking about that, and I thought, I'm going to do this one more day. This kind of eats up the week. Because we announced the match on Monday, and next Monday we're going to start doing more testimonies. But the testimony today is God is so great that he had people pull money together that totaled $706,000, a little more than that. Hmm. And it's like, holy smokes, how are we going to get this matched in a matter of 6 weeks? Well, that's what we'll find out. But God is God is an amazing God. We want to brag on him for the $706,000, and we want to brag on him that he'll get it matched. So if you can help us with that, that would be great. It makes such a difference in people's lives. Everybody who gave to that matching seed money, excuse me, they were all touched by this ministry in one way or another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And God did the work, but we introduced them to what could happen and how God works. And so it might have been a workshop. Some people, it was going to a counselor. Others, just this radio program. We had people that never have done anything other than listen to this radio program. And they told us it made all the difference in their lives, mm-hmm. in their recovery.
And And the thing that I love, Larry, is it's not just the people we deal with. It's generation after generation that are impacted, because now these kids aren't children of divorce. They're together. Now they're not dealing with an absent father, but a father with integrity. And all of that couldn't happen without our partners.
So, folks, if you could just help make a gift, it will be doubled. If you give $20, you will have given $40. We put this $706,000 in a fund. We keep it apart from all the rest of the money that's donated. And we don't touch it until you match it. So if you'll give $100, we'll get $200 out. If you give $50, we'll get, you know, $100 out and add it to what you gave. So your gift is truly doubled. I had a lady that challenged me once, said, this is a gimmick. And I said, no, it's not. It's truly a matching fund. And we only match it as it's sent in.
So. Well, and the reason that it's there is the people that give, they want it to be more than just their one-time gift. They want it to be something more significant. So they say, I'm going to ask you to match this before you access it. That's really what it's all about. They want it to be bigger.
And the whole matching thing started when one of these gatherings of some donors, a lady called and said, we want to give $25,000 when we meet. We don't want anybody to know it's us. So if you would announce that we're challenging them to do something the same and whatever they give, and let's pull it all together and challenge everybody. And we raised $170,000 that weekend. We thought it was a great big deal. And it was. But 5 or 6 years later, we're at $700,000. So thank you, Jesus.
And I know the couple that started that, and I haven't told anybody, and it's the first secret. that I've ever kept. So we're so thrilled that they started this. Look at what they did. If you can help us, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Anybody that gives, I just love this book. The Heart Handbook is what it's. Laura Mangan McDonald wrote this. The Heart Handbook. It's fantastic. I'm so glad we discovered this book. We'll send it to you. And it really is a guide on the basics of love. So that's our way of saying thank you. We give you a little handbook. It's not first aid. It's essential aid for the heart. And so thank you, Larry, for sharing that with us. All right. Now, finally, we're going to go to Tammy from North Platte, Nebraska. Tammy, you have one of the finest Goodwill stores there in North Platte. I've been there many times. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Please tell everyone in North Platte hello for me. I think I've spent 3 weeks in North Platte, you know. Pretty cool place.
Oh, wow. Yes, it is.
How could we help today?
I have a 34-year-old son, and since last January, it's kind of like his personality has totally changed.
For the better or worse? Oh.
Worse.
Worse. Okay. He was outgoing.
Worse. Yeah, now he will not respond to any family, any friends. He's separated from his wife, and it's breaking our heart. We don't know what's going on.
How old is he?
34.
And has he had any kind of emotional or addiction problems, anything like that, before?
No, not that we know of. Last summer, he had a really bad electrical shock, and we're wondering if maybe that could have caused some of it.
Well, what happened there? How tell us a little bit about the circumstances.
He was working on a piece of equipment, and it shorted out, and it was 440 current, and it knocked him down, and he was severely bruised, and he's gone in and had heart issues, and they think that it's done some nerve damage from that.
Wow.
So,
I'm so sorry.
And then on top of that, he had COVID last fall, so we're wondering if the combination maybe has caused issues.
Sure, yeah. Okay, so Mylon, Mark, what do you guys think? I've got a thought here I'll share later, but what are you thinking?
Well, I'm so sorry to hear that, Tammy. So that electric shock sounds like it was very traumatic. Did your son have any kind of therapy after that?
No, he hasn't.
Wow. And how else has this affected him? You said that he's separating from his family. What else have you noticed happening?
Like I said, he's not responding to any family. He used to be, you know, real in touch with the family, and he doesn't anymore. If anybody tries calling him or anything, he ghosts them. He won't answer the phone.
Is he married?
Yes, he is.
Oh, and how's his wife and kids responding?
Not well. They don't recognize that something's really going on. To them, everything's okay. It's just a marital problem, and they're trying to work it out.
So. Okay. Well, you hear the music. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back. You know, the electrical shock was so serious, he's got a heart issue. Have to believe that there's some kind of traumatic impact on this life, and trauma can just destroy everything. We'll be back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And Mark, you were speaking here with Tammy from North Platte. Anything else you want to say with her?
Yeah, Mark, you were you were talking.
Yeah, so Tammy, I mean, you did mention that there was this electrical shock, but then you also mentioned that his wife doesn't see that as a factor, or she perceives that more as a marital issue. So I wonder why she thinks that. Why is that, do you think?
Because I think he stays in contact with her and the kids, and the rest of us, he just kind of, it's like he's erased us from his life.
So,
I mean, we're not part of it anymore.
So he hasn't separated from his wife and kids, he's just separated from you and the rest of the family, is that right?
Well, he's not living at home.
Okay, so he has separated from his wife and kids. So I wonder there, yeah. Tammy, if there really is a marriage problem. I'm sure, you know, his accident could have contributed to something, but it's possible that they're separate too.
Okay, so let's try to give the mother her best shot at how she. I mean, she's not married to her son. They don't live together. What is it, Mylon, that she could do maybe that have the best chance of producing something good out of all this?
Tammy, I can understand how you would be crushed that you're being ghosted by your son.
Yes.
It hurts really bad, doesn't it?
Yes.
Okay, and I'm sorry that is happening. But I would also not want to completely ascribe external reasons for that rejection. That is the electrical shock and also COVID. I would really want to be able to talk to my son and say, you know, you are going through something major right now. And what repairs do you and I need to make? Or what repairs do Dad and I need to make with you? What things do we need to acknowledge? How can we address us? Because obviously you've ghosted us, you're not caught talking to us. What unfinished business do we need to repair? And I would start there because that's the place you need to begin.
Yeah, I think so. There's nothing you can do about the marriage, and you know, if the wife is actually saying I don't think that is the impairment source. So
I think he's in a crisis too, Steve.
Yeah, right. But you try to mend it.
Yes, you try to mend it, but then he has some mending to do with his wife as well, and then he needs some marriage counseling.
But maybe this initiates that in
them trying to
reconcile something. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm going to send her a copy of your book, How We Love. That'll help her with him. And then real quickly, I don't have a lot of time, but I'm going to get to Sarah from Memphis, Tennessee. Hey, Sarah, how are you?
Hi there. How are you?
Great. I am almost out of time, but I just thought I'd see if I could answer a question for you real quickly.
Oh, okay. Thank you. So I'm having to make a decision pretty quickly, like today or tomorrow, about a job. And I don't have a real strong leaning one way or the other. And I'm just wondering, you know, I think there's a fear of making a mistake with the choice. And I just can't seem to get past it. But I mean, a decision has to be reached.
What's the choice?
Okay, so I'm a teacher, and I'm on a state line, and I'm trying to decide between one state and the other. One pays more, one pays less. The one that pays less is easier, less stressful, but no real future. And the one that pays more is a lot more stress. But potentially, I want to be a school counselor, so potentially there is that hope there in the larger district. So I have offers from both sides.
Okay. Any thought, real briefly, Mark or Mylon?
I think really, Sarah, you've answered your own question. I have a career that has much more advantageous if I go to the larger district, and that would be true. Larger districts offer more capacity for movement. And yes, it is probably have more responsibility, more stress, but that is an environment. Easy doesn't get us to places that we really want to go to.
Yeah. My thing is, if you take the less stressful job, then you would want to also take some money management courses so that you made more of the less money with less stress. If you take the higher stress job, which seems like that could lead to some things, take the money, some of it, and hire a coach that could help you grow and deal with the extra stress, and then you end up going down the career path that you wanted. That's my thought.
What do you think might be best for your family, Sarah?
I think that, well, the one that is being offered that's less money is about a mile from my house.
Oh, so my goodness.
Would be less stress because you don't, there's 4-day work weeks.
Instead
of five.
I'd hire that money manager.
Sometimes there's not really a hard right or a hard wrong on these decisions, and sometimes it comes down to what's right for your family in this moment, right?
Yeah.
And it could be that there's, you know, if you've got younger kids or they're school age and it's just much more convenient to work 4 days a week and be so close to pick them up, that might be the priority right now,
And it's important that maybe it's not a right or wrong answer. It's maybe a better or a little bit better answer, one or the other. But whatever you choose, God will help you make it the best answer if you'll trust Him. I wish we had more time, and I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back. I think that's going to help you in that decision-making process. Everybody needs to be their own decider, and there's some great stuff in there about that. I want to share a great verse with you. It's Psalm 34:18. It says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." Isn't that good news? And you may feel like you're alone, but I believe God is there for you. Now, if you're one of these folks like we often encounter here, and you've got some unresolved grief, some ungrieved losses, May 7th, we can help you with that. Every Man's Battle's May 13th in Orange County. And Restore for any woman who's been hurt by a man with sexual integrity problems, July 15th in Dallas. Mylon and I will be in D.C. July 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, Intimacy in Marriage. We'd love for you to go there. Please, please do. So many of the issues that come up here can be changed, solved, resolved at Intimacy in Marriage. If you need help, that phone number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's also the same number you can call to help us match over $700,000 of giving from folks who said, please make this mean more. Have people come alongside us and let's see how much we can put here. And it really does make all the difference in the world. I'll send you the Heart Handbook by Laura Mangan McDonald. It is a fantastic resource. It's our way of saying thank you. And finally, if you don't have a great Bible, Every Man's Bible and the Life Recovery Bible were both this past month in the top 10. They were literally the best-selling adult study Bibles last month, also in all of 21. It's fantastic that we've got them here. We love these Bibles. People say, I started to read the Bible when I started to read one of those. Thank you, Mark Cameron. Appreciate you
being
here.
Thank
you, Mylon Yurkovich, for dragging Mark into the studio. Appreciate that. And to all of you who listen, watch, and pray for us, thank you. We love you. Well, if we really knew you, we'd love you. But, well, we'd tolerate some of you. We'd love the rest. All right, we'll see you next time. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.